This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast, episode 41, brought to you by ComicHole.com. Hey, welcome to the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast. I am Josh. I'm here with Connor.
Hi.
And Ron.
Hey.
Once again, literally here with them. This time broadcasting from beautiful Northport, New York.
On Long Island.
There we go.
We're at my parents' house, enjoying the pool and the summer days.
We're not in Ron's old childhood room, but we tried to. It just didn't work out.
Yeah.
I thought that would have been nostalgic. Anyway, iFanboy.com. We're a website. We like comic books. We write about them. Every week, we read a bunch of comic books, and one of us will write a review of what they think is the best pick of the week. And then we come here and we talk about it. So, this week, Connor's got the pick, but before that, now we've got the generic warning, because we don't want any more angry letters.
Which have they really gone down since we've included the disclaimer.
I think so. Anyway, what we're talking about here are these past week's comics. So, it's already happened. It's been gone and done. It's a review show. We might ruin something for you if you're not careful, so... If you haven't read your books, you might want to hold off. There be danger ahead. Anyway, Connor, you got the pick of the week, and here's a big surprise.
It's Detective Comics 822. Which,
by who?
Paul Dini.
Woo!
Ding. Which I swear we didn't do just because we love Paul Dini and interviewed him for the
in San Diego.
The great thing about Detective Comics, which in conjunction with Batman from Grant Morrison, is I really didn't realize this until just recently, but for the last 10 years or so, the two books have been really linked closely. And not only closely, but they're very grounded in Gotham City. You don't really get the feel... They took a concerted effort to make it in Gotham and very realistic and one focus.
A concerted effort?
Concerted effort.
It's a conceited effort. I'm better than all your books. You're a conceited bastard.
Right. So these books, I think, are taking a sort of a throwback to the... late 80s, early 90s Batman comics, where he was more of a jet-setter. He's still concerned with Gotham, but he went around the world. He wasn't always fighting crime in Gotham City. In addition to that, these detective stories are self-contained, and the great thing is they used to do this a lot in Batman comics. It starts with the end of a sort of a crime or an adventure. Like, in the beginning of this book, he's fighting... who is this?
Roxy Rocket.
Right.
Which is a great name, by the way.
But you get sort of the very tail end of him apprehending somebody and then jumping into the next story, which is a great way to just jump people right into the middle of it. So you're not in this long mystery. You don't have to catch up. You just throw right into the action. That's something they did a lot. And something you don't really need to concern yourself with what's been happening before. You can just enjoy these one-shot issues from Paul Dini. It's very much like watching a half hour of the cartoon, which he used to do. And in this story, basically one of Bruce Wayne's many ladies about town ends up dead, and he's drawn into the mystery. And it's a one-shot solving a murder mystery, which is with the Riddler thrown in, because the Riddler is now apparently reformed and has started his own detective agency, which I think is pretty funny.
And it did have a lot. I did buy it. I'm continuing to buy Detective Comics because of Paul Dini, because I said I would. Mm-hmm. And Josh doesn't look like it when I look at him.
Hello.
But and I like the interplay with the Riddler and Batman and basically the twists and turns and the solving of the mystery in the one issue, because it's the one and done.
Right.
You know it's not an you know extended storyline, and I thought the way they told the story and the way it laid out, you thought you knew what was happening, but then we find out what really was happening, and I thought that was a good touch. Consistency on art? Is there supposed to be a consistent artist on this book? Or?
We thought it was going to be J.H. Williams.
That was the really third. Most disappointing thing about it, but it wasn't J.H. Williams.
It wasn't a bad artist, though.
No, it's just more of a standard superhero artist, and there's nothing wrong with it, it's just the J.H. Williams stuff is so out of the norm,
mm-hmm.
and it was really interesting and visually interesting, in addition to it being story-wise very interesting, but this is sort of standard superhero art.
Now, how do you feel about there being an S&M club in a Batman book?
You know what? I was reading it, and I was like, this is kind of... I was like, it's a little tame. And then all of a sudden, there's an S&M scene.
I saw a ball gag.
Well, there was an interview with Paul Dini that I read where he said he was really getting to flex his muscles with stuff he couldn't include in the cartoon, like murder and anything salacious at all. So he's really...
That's probably why it feels a little like the cartoon, but then all of a sudden it's like, it gets boobs! Adult. You know?
Yeah.
Ball gags!
Yeah.
You were going somewhere else with that, weren't you?
No, I wasn't. No. I mean, I was just wanting to talk about the ball gags, really.
Okay.
I think we've covered it.
I do think someone mentioned this on the website that this Riddler detective agency could be a recurring theme throughout this book. It's possible. I mean, he sort of set it up that way.
Now,
it's going to replace Gotham Central. You heard it here first.
I mean,
that's not true.
It's interesting because it's almost as if Dini or Paul.
Paul, I have to call him.
Like he'd remember you tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, you never know. I almost feel as if he's almost like taking a Geoff Johns approach with the villains, as opposed to, you know, like
reinventing them.
Yeah, not reinventing them,
bringing them back to their core,
and making it about the villain, really. Yeah. You know,
mm-hmm.
Well, Batman's always sort of been about the villain, anyway.
Yeah.
There's been really since when you know that glory time when Greg Rucka came on.
Who?
Greg Rucka.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Greg. Great. I know. Yeah, Greg.
In the mid '90s, late '90s, when Greg Rucka came on Detective Comics and Rube Baker was writing Batman. They really unified the books, and it was really about Batman and his struggle. I mean, it should be always, but the villains are sort of put to the side. And this is really a throwback to that whole late 80s feel to Batman, which I enjoy because that's when I really was reading Batman a lot.
Yeah, I was honestly surprised that you picked this because I didn't think you would go back to the Batwell,
mm-hmm.
considering that this was a pick less than a month ago, you know what I mean? So,
right.
So I knew that it must have been really good, and it was really good. I mean, and I think this really kind of summed up this week, and as far as the comics, is the kind of quality storytelling and quality character work and stuff like that. You know,
that's a great book that you can, if you don't read Batman, you can pick these up.
If you've been wanting to,
yeah, you can totally pick these up and get into it, not to worry about anything.
I realize that I've been lying to you guys when I said I never bought a Batman book. I did buy the Hush storyline with Jim Lee.
And really?
Did?
Yeah, I bought that.
I didn't even buy that.
Yeah,
I bought the first one, and I was like, this isn't that good.
I've got some bizarre '90s like brainwashing in my head where Jim Lee does a regular monthly issue, and I go, oh, I gotta buy it. Like, I bought Superman, too, and that's a relative. I bought all that stuff. I don't know why.
Did you understand it?
No clue.
Damn, I was hoping you could explain it.
Yeah, no clue. I just the art was pretty, though.
Yeah, also, there's great covers on these books.
Who is that?
Simone Bianchi.
Yeah.
Oh!
The wacky Italian guy from the convention.
You might want to check that for any hidden messages in there.
No, this isn't Marvel.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But
in case you
didn't
know
covers.
What we're talking about, there was a... What the hell was it? Like a Wolverine Origins cover, and in it was hidden the secret message that Loeb and Bianchi would be doing Wolverine starting with issue 50
something
like that. That was the big announcement from Marvel.
Yeah. How did you feel about the Riddler getting a ride in the Batmobile?
I thought it was really funny.
Yeah,
I thought he wouldn't have put him in there.
Yeah, no, neither would I. I thought Batman was far more tolerant of the Riddler in this than I expected.
Well, Batman is now sort of like, he knows Harvey Dent can change, the Riddler, he's a pansy. Batman's a pansy now. No, you threw me off.
He's actually done this in the past where if he's been forced to team up with a villain, they put him in the Batmobile. We even brought him back to the Batcave.
Yeah.
Instant comedy.
That's usually what it's for comedic value.
That's kind of keep your enemies closer.
Yeah.
Type like, thing.
Blindfolds them and they wake up in a cave.
No matter how many times the jokes be like, nice car. Like, they do it over and over and over again. You're still like, aha, he said it's a nice car.
Yeah.
It tickles my fanboy bone.
Creepy.
When I say things, it sounds dirty.
It does.
I don't
mean it to me.
I know.
It sounds fine in your head, right?
Yeah.
Inner dialogue.
Like,
inner dialogue.
I'm not the guy who's going to come out with the bad pun, but there it was. Filthy world.
Overall, I'm really happy the Batman books are really good.
It's a Batassance?
Bat Renaissance.
A Bat Renaissance?
Yeah.
There's several assances going on, I think. I think Batman's just one assance.
Well, the most depressing thing for me lately has been, previous to this relaunch, Batman books were just not very good.
They were in a
They were
bat,
very mediocre.
In a bat, bat, oh, bat reformation? Bat, I'm trying to think of Bat Dark Ages? Dark Bat Ages? I don't know, sorry. History?
I'm completely confused, so if you're listening and you are, that's okay. Because I don't know.
It's a Batassance. Get it? Renaissance and
yeah,
Bat.
I got that. It's over. Let's move on. Next book.
So, do you stick on the DC tip?
Let's do that. That's a nice...
Let's talk about 52, which...
It's been a couple weeks since we touched upon it.
Whenever we talk about 52, it's always a bit of a controversy.
Well, I like to point out that the 52 issues that I really like seem to have nothing to do with Steel. And they have
When you
no...
said the 52 issues, I thought, I'm like, there have right. been 52 issues already?
No, again, the issues of 52.
Quote, unquote, 52. Right.
Nothing
the ones
about
without Steel. Yeah.
Or nothing about Steel.
Really Black Adam, even though he's in this one.
I don't mind Black Adam's storyline. It's kind of interesting.
I just don't get it. Like, I feel as if, like, they... I know that they are architecting this grand story over the year. But, like, I feel as if, like, I'm not getting it. You know, like, I don't get, like, and I imagine in the next couple of weeks, maybe then I will get it, like, because they're sowing the seeds.
My thought about it has really been that I think one of the reasons that maybe we thought it's been slow to begin with, because they have to set it up.
Yeah, yeah.
But they have more time to set it up. So when they're looking at the storyboard, they're saying we have 52 parts to tell this. They're taking a little longer to do the beginning part, so maybe that's why those felt a little slow.
Right.
And well, this is still Act 1.
Yeah,
I mean, totally. We've got one more issue for Act 1, really, and then...
Yeah.
As I drop my book.
Just kind of throws his book across the room in disgust.
Creased the cover.
So this was actually a lot of Elongated Man.
And that's the best part of this book has been so far. It's been all the Elongated Man stuff, and this was really good. Plus, it had really great art from...
Todd Nauck.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
I thought like, there was my one little quibble, I think, was that I'm just like, nobody noticed the dude with the mask?
Well, that's what I thought. As I'm reading it, they're all popping up, Green Arrow, Green Lantern, they're all there, and their little domino
mask. Nobody noticed the dude with the wings?
Yeah.
He's got them under his robe.
Zoriel's got a helmet on. I can clearly see it in the panels. The other people, are the cultists blind?
Or Supergirl. I mean, Wonder Girl's in there, and she just doesn't recognize the Green Arrow's there.
Hal, is that you? Like,
but at the end of this, it was instead of everything so far that's been incredibly hokey out of DC, it was actually kind of creepy.
Yeah, Elongated Man just goes right off the deep end.
And I'm like, sorry, when the creepy Sue Dibney mannequin starts talking, that creeped me out. I almost threw the book across the room.
Well, because it had the torn, burned face.
Yeah.
By the way, why did things start on fire?
Because they started a fight. It was right here.
Every time you start a fight, fire begins?
Yes. Well, obviously you knock over a candle. So
I guess.
Yeah. That's... It's right here when the fight happens and then the pot with the fire gets knocked over and they say, this way, hurry.
And they're in a paper temple of some kind.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah.
But it was... It's been very sort of... It can be very middle of the road, this book. Very sort of not taking a lot of chances. But this one went creepy.
Yeah.
It was good. It was really good.
I really enjoyed it. This is the first book I read, which is telling you where 52 falls on my list. I was like, I'll start with this.
Oh, so you're not interested in it?
I wasn't at all. And
because by my rules, that would be the one you're most interested in.
I closed the book, and I was like, that was great. Yeah. I really dug that.
So is Ralph crazy now?
Looks like it.
Well, you would think, I mean, we've all been waiting for him to really get upset about the death of his wife. He was very realistically portrayed as being
in shock, kind of.
You know, loved ones tend to be more shocked than, like, angry. Like, you see in movies and TV, like,
He was kind of despondent.
But now he's just snapped.
So, do you think that this cult of Connor can act, not you, Connor, but Connor Kent, can actually resurrect people? I mean, is that what they're saying? Was it working?
It's either working or this is him, this is in his head.
Yeah.
Maybe he wants her to be alive again that he sees the dummy. He's like, he's gone nuts already.
I just thought of the Cranberry song.
You know what I thought was really... Stop.
Zombie.
I don't know how to recover from that.
I'm sorry.
What was interesting is that... What the hell was I saying?
Totally.
I'm not doing this with you people again. I quit.
Actually, we've been meaning to talk to you about that.
I like the part where... Jesus, you keep doing that. Okay. I enjoyed the part where he's trying to say they can resurrect her, and they all go, well, that's crazy. And he goes, are you kidding me?
Yeah, that was really good. How many times have you died? How many times? You're an angel, for
like,
Christ's sake.
Took the comic book world, and they were just like used it and explained it in that way.
Because that's often dealt with where they, you know, people are... You would think that these people would never get upset about a death because everyone else who dies comes back, but you can't really deal with that because there would be no consequences to the story, but this was a good way of dealing with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, big thumbs up.
So, Darrell, if you're listening,
Yeah.
We loved this issue.
It's one of the best issues of this so far.
It has stood out as one of the best ones, yeah. So over to the Marvel side of the house, I was really impressed with Ultimate Spider-Man. Surprise, surprise.
I had a lot of laughter reading this. It was a fun comic book.
Well, my favorite, for those of you who aren't reading Ultimate Spider-Man or aren't aware or whatever, is that this is the second issue in Bendis' attempt at the Ultimate Clone Saga.
Which is funny in itself.
Yes, and you get the sense that he thinks so.
Yeah, exactly. And apparently in the last issue, Mary Jane got kidnapped by an unknown person, and he finds this out, and he goes to find her, and then he gets attacked by somebody in a black Spider-Man costume-esque girl who kind of looks like Mary Jane, but it's not. I'm guessing it's a clone of Mary Jane or whatnot. But I just thought it was really cool to see this costume running around.
Yeah.
You forget how great the black and white Spider-Man costume is until you actually see it in action.
It's a great design. It really is.
Yeah. But the best part of this book, I thought, was it starts off with the cliffhanger from last issue when Peter fought the Scorpion, who turns out to have his face.
Which is creepy.
It's very creepy.
I mean, I know people think the Clone War is supposed to be terrible. I never read the Clone War, actually. Clone Saga.
I don't think anybody actually did.
They just blocked it out. If he sneezes, just let him sneeze.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Don't call attention to the sneeze.
People talk to each other about the show and just say, I really don't like the ones where they're all together. It's formless. But I've never read that, and I know it's supposed to be terrible, but this is creepy. Like, you're fighting the guy, you pull it off, it's got his face there. Right. Not unlike Empire Strikes Back.
Well, that wasn't what people hated the Clone Saga. They hated it because they basically said, the books you've been reading for 10 years haven't been Peter Parker, they've been Ben Reilly.
Yeah, it
wasn't that they dealt with the clone, it was the fact that they said, everything you thought you knew was not the case, and that pissed people off.
Right.
But I thought the best part of it was when he brought the Scorpion and he needed help and he didn't know where to go, so he went to the Fantastic Four. And that was very reminiscent of the old, early 60s Spider-Man books when, I remember there's the one cover where he goes to the Fantastic Four trying to join the team.
He's like in the back of the tank.
Yeah, because he tries to break in and tries to attack them, of course. But in Peter's mind, he would join the Fantastic Four and gets a salary. And they point out to him, no, we're family, actually, and you can't just join. The interplay between him and the rest of the Fantastic Four was just awesome. It was very fun to read.
Plus the fact that he got so frustrated, he had to basically unmask to
show them what was the matter. Yeah.
Why is he freaking out?
Bendis's dialogue for harried Peter was really good. You get the sense of desperation. He doesn't know what to do. He feels like a kid. He feels like somebody who's in over his head, which is good.
See, as much as I've been enjoying the Amazing Spider-Man books, this is still, for me, the only Spider-Man book that I really care about out there. I mean, this is the Spider-Man I want to be reading about, and I don't really care about
adult
Spider-Man.
And you've been reading it for 98 issues.
Yeah.
Straight.
Yeah.
No art changes, no... Yeah.
I don't really give a crap about adult Peter Parker, I mean, to be honest.
That's
the fear in the heart of a lot of Spider-Man fans, that they think that this is going to replace them. So. I still don't understand why they... I mean, because of this, probably, but it's amazing they haven't given Bendis Amazing Spider-Man and just said, take this and run.
I don't think he wants it.
You could do the two of them, so...
Yeah, I agree. So, but...
Be too hard.
Even when he writes Spider-Man in an Avengers book, he's writing the Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah,
he's not writing the other Spider-Man.
Yeah, exactly.
So. And so the bit at the end here, the big twist... I'm not even going to say it, because there's no point, but it's good. You're like,
shocking.
That's going to mess things up. And you really get the sense of he's in a place that's really, really confusing, and it's
beyond
good.
Being just a teenager, which is just generally confusing, but he's got all this other crap.
As we've discussed before, I was somewhat, tentative about the whole Ultimate Universe.
Somewhat.
But I do like how they're taking the concepts from the original Marvel Universe and adapting them, they introduced Deadpool. And it wasn't exactly like the Deadpool from the Marvel Universe, and not necessarily better than the Marvel Universe one. But in this case, he's taking the concept of, cloning, and what if Peter got cloned, and all that kind of stuff, and doing it in a way that probably is going to end up being superior than the original one.
I think it's already superior. I mean, I obviously, Josh never read the original Clone Saga, but from having read about it and knowing about it...
Since no one likes it.
It seems to be superior.
So... All right,
let's move on to a different book.
The last book was Uncanny X-Men, which we thought we would.
Wait, we're not going to talk about Jonah Hex?
He begged me.
I just ambushed you. That was an ambush, Hex.
You begged me beforehand. You just because when we thought Joshua couldn't do this, it would just be the two of us. He begged me to not.
Well, because Connor
Hex.
Threatened we talked the entire episode would be about Jonah Hex.
Jonah Hex was awesome.
It was good.
It was Phil Noto art, colors, everything. That guy charges $300 for a sketch. Go out and get it. Moving on.
Was it a rootin' tootin' good time?
No, I was in the bayou, and everybody days talk down there real strange.
Did they write it with that accent?
Yeah. Yes, they did.
Really?
They sure did, and it was gators and whatnot.
And they ate people.
Yeah.
They threw the bodies
there
into the
swamp. There was rapins and baby killings. And
rapins?
Rapinsness.
Oh, nice.
They threw the baby in there. It was. I mean, you know what? Jonah Hex, just briefly?
Yep.
It's really grisly.
It's quite grisly.
I mean, it's surprisingly grisly for a comic book.
It's not DC. It's not Vertigo.
For a DC book. It's not Vertigo, but there's graphic killings, there's rape, there's baby killings. I mean, this is like a grisly book, and they don't. Nobody really talks about the fact that that's.
See that? I snuck that in there.
Yeah, way to ambush me.
Yeah.
So, Uncanny X-Men, real quickly. I know there's been a lot of talk and attention to the X-Men with the new creative teams and
a book coming out every freaking week.
Yeah, it seems every other week.
Every two or three weeks.
Yeah, it's amazing.
No, no, no. The two books are coming out every staggered. 2 weeks, staggered. So, yes. 1 week's Carrie, 1 week's Brubaker.
And
no breaks.
Up till now, the Carrie, the word on the Carrie, at least for me, my Carrie and Chris Bachalo one has been no good. And the Brubaker and what is his name? Billy Tan has been the gem of them.
Not in this one, it's Clayton Henry.
Right, but in this one we have Clayton Henry instead of Billy Tan, and I think I posted this on the board. For Brubaker to write, and I understand what he's doing, this could be seen as a fill-in issue. And because they have the X-Men going after Vulcan, so you gotta have an issue that explains what Vulcan's been up to and what he's doing. But to have an entire issue where no X-Men appear at all,
What's wrong with that? It's ballsy.
It's ballsy,
but...
Yeah.
I didn't mind it.
I didn't mind it at all. Also, this is good because a lot of us who came on the book for Brubaker have a clue who Vulcan is or what he's about.
Story,
so this is good because I didn't know anything about him.
I don't know anything about the Shi'ar, other than they were in Dark Phoenix Saga. Other than, the stuff that was in there, I kind of recognized, but I didn't know that they were, a...
My one problem with that is that I understand they're a warrior race, and the fact that he defeated him, he get the thing, but, that Shi'ar captain...
He really just buckled up really quick.
He bent over real quickly. It was just like, he's like, what can I do for you?
We're beat. Can I rub your feet?
I know. It was like, do you want
a cocktail?
You want a drink? We can make anything you want, really.
The cook is excellent.
But I mean, it was good. Brubaker wrote. I didn't like the art, though. I didn't like the fill-in artist.
He's slightly better than Billy Tan, but still,
I don't think he's better than Billy Tan. I like Billy Tan. I have no problem with Billy Tan's art.
But you feel like these are the top of the line X books, and you're relaunching them with these big time creators. You think you'd get some top of, I keep dropping books in here. Just top of the line artists. I usually have a table.
I know. We need to get some chairs too. My feet are asleep again.
But I like it.
You have no focus today, do you? Just one comment knocks you off.
I really like the art. I have no problem with it. I mean, I don't think it was great. I don't think it was incredible, but it was entirely passable. I could read it from panel to panel.
I just thought it was simpler than I like. I mean, I don't know.
It's surprising. I think this is, I mean,
the cover was awful.
Brubaker draws, well, it's painted. You don't like that.
I know.
I didn't like it either. Brubaker writes an awful lot of books, and you figure one of them's got to be... suffering from all that, and I think this is the one.
I bet this is the one he's putting the most into, because, and honestly, he's probably getting paid the most for this one.
Absolutely.
Do you think he's trying too hard, though?
No.
Because do you think this is good?
I don't really have much to compare it to. I can't stand the X-Men for the most part, because it's
so
always...
Why are you buying it?
Because I really like Ed Brubaker, and I like the idea of the X-Men, but there's so... I mean, the continuity with them is so heavy, and everything refers to all of these characters, and I can't just focus on one person usually.
Right.
So it's usually just too heavy to get into any given X-Men book. I can appreciate the really good ones.
Yeah, I still don't.
I think the perception on the street is that it's his weakest book. They were talking about it in our comic store when I bought comics today. The guys behind the counter, actually the girls behind the counter, they
hot.
The two, yeah.
Well, it's not his, I mean, his forte, his best, not his forte, but his best work, traditionally has been... The one character
street level,
he takes this street level kind of thing. That's why he's really good at Daredevil.
Well, he's writing Daredevil, Captain America. He's got that new crime book, which is called
Criminal.
Oh, I'm so down.
Uncanny X-Men.
Yeah,
and he just announced he's co-writing the new Iron Fist book.
Oh yeah,
with Matt Fraction, simply because he can't write any more books. That's what he said. He would love to do it himself, but he can't have the time for it.
Yeah, I mean, but you got to give it to him. He's doing all sorts of different things. We're just typecasting him as a guy who does one-person gritty street-level crime stuff. But really, I mean, he's doing the X-Men. He's Captain America. He's doing Daredevil. These characters
are all different. They're all different kind of stories.
I got to know him originally for a Vertigo series he did. I think it only went 7, maybe 13 issues, called Dead Enders.
Which I didn't love.
I really liked it. I was kind of upset that it ended. But then, his early work was, autobiographical.
It's funny, because I didn't like...
Complete Lowlife.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
very good. But that's I didn't really like his early...
seen
big,
in Prime?
Big stuff. Like, I didn't like Deadenders. I didn't like his... The first 6 months of Batman, I hated.
Oh, really?
Before he... I think he took a while for him to get the character. Once he got it, but...
And that maybe might be having the same ramp up.
And I will admit, I shouldn't say I'm being disappointed. I just think for right now, for me, it's not gelling. I think it can, and I trust he will. The track record is there, but for right now, it's not gelling.
Would you say Sleeper's his best work?
Yes, right now it is, yes.
Sleeper followed closely by sort of his Gotham Central, but it's hard to say what was Rucka's and what was his sometimes.
Sleeper, Gotham Central, you know, the first 4 or 5 issues of Daredevil is all sort of mixed in the middle of the top, you know.
His good stuff's really good.
Daredevil is one of the best books.
But this is one of those other things, like, if you like Daredevil, you should go out and find Sleeper.
Yeah.
You can read it without having known anything. Just
go and
get the first trade.
I don't know anything about Wildstorm.
And it's like that's a page turner and a half. It's really good.
Yeah. So good stuff. So I think that's it for this week's books. Right? I had a light week. I only had like 7 or 8 books.
7 books. Yeah.
I think I had 7. I would give you a quick recommendation. It's getting canceled, but go out and pick up Marvel Team Up if you can, because this issue was really, really good.
I dropped it with this issue because it's getting canceled. So now I need to go back and pick that up.
Why don't you just ride it out to the end,
dude? Marvel Team. Yeah, I know that's
it.
What
I've been buying it, but I was like, it's just gonna end. I don't want to, you know, like.
Oh, it was a fight between.
Was it the ring thing still going on? Or no, the Tony Stark. The future
was
Tony Stark. Right?
Iron Maniac.
Yeah, Iron Maniac. Yeah.
Came out and he fought Iron Spider and Wolverine. Cool.
Yeah.
So like Kirkman got to write Wolverine and Peter Parker, and you're looking at me.
I'm talking to you.
I know,
just
but
asked if the book was any
we're
good.
Really close.
He looks at you all day long when you tell
and,
him.
And then there's and at the end there's a Freedom Ring sort of development that happens.
Yeah,
it was great. It was
so
much.
Is there a constant storyline running through Team Up?
Yeah.
It's not like they used to be where
only,
just one story for every.
I only started reading it 2-3 issues ago, and about like 20 minutes after I finished it, I read that it was canceled.
There've been like two, three, four issue story arcs.
Okay,
so.
Too bad.
All right, cool. Well, I'll go back and pick that up then, because Lord knows my store won't be sold out of it. Nobody's buying it.
Nope,
that's why
it's great.
Canceled.
It's really good. If they release it collected, definitely.
That book has just got a death mark on it. No matter who writes it, Bendis couldn't even.
Well,
sell
he
that
said
book.
Kirkman said he wrote mine lasted longer than Bendis's did.
Yep. So there you go. All right. So before we move on, do a little shameless self promotion. For those of you who just listen to the podcast and don't visit iFanboy.com, you might have missed the fact that we released the first iFanboy video of iFanboy at San Diego Comic-Con 2006.
And you can look at Ron's handsome face.
For those of you who have not seen it, we'll be putting the iPod version up in our feed. So if you go into iTunes, it'll be the one under this episode. So if you go look at our feed, you can download it directly from there. Or you can go to iFanboy.com and download it in a variety of formats, or go watch it on YouTube or Google, whatever your choice is. But
or on MySpace.
Or on our MySpace page at myspace.com/iFanboy.
It's an empire.
And basically, I mean, do you want to tell the folks about the video? I mean,
it's awesome.
It's a 30-minute video of our experience over the course of the con.
We talked to people. We did some funny stuff. We did some other, you know.
Talked to a lot of creators.
We tried to replicate the experience of being at the con as best we could.
Yep.
Without a plan, so it went pretty well.
We had a lot of fun, and I think that you can see it on the thing. And I mean, when I say it's awesome, I mean we're really proud of it. Like we've watched it a bunch of times, and we still have fun watching it.
I think I watch it like twice, 2 or 3 times a day.
Yeah,
and it's still funny every
and
time.
It's a half hour long.
Yeah,
I mean
it doesn't feel like a half hour.
No, we packed a lot in there. We got Joe Casey interviewing there, Grant Morrison, Greg Rucka,
Dio.
Not Jeff Jones. We didn't talk to him.
No, we tried.
Joss Whedon. Brian Singer,
Paul Dini.
We got a very rare interview with Brian Singer, Paul Dini.
That's making fun of Brian Singer.
I wasn't. I just that's
so.
What he like.
So we're very excited about it. There's been a great reception on iFanboy.com. Our iFanboy loyalists seem to have dug it as well. So thank you, folks, for watching it and indulging us. And
so if you go to iFanboy.com, you can find it there. We're probably gonna post a. And there's a car.
A car just drove by. In case you heard that, we don't know. Somebody has a muscle car.
We're probably going to post a permanent link to it on the top, so...
Yeah, so you can always go get it. And maybe we'll do some more videos in the future, who knows?
But don't get used to it, it's very hard work.
Yeah.
If you liked it, send us an email, let us know. It'll encourage us to do more if we get a lot of good.
Yeah, it was the product of a whole lot of work in San Diego.
Yeah.
Why possibly the podcast sounded like they did, because we were exhausted at the end of the day.
And then a marathon session of putting that together.
Yep.
Which was fun, but...
Which was a blast. I mean, all in all, it was positive. So, thank you, everyone, for watching it. If you haven't watched it, go check it out.
Send it to people, man.
Yeah, send it
to... Yeah, pass it around to other comic people you know, read it,
I think what's fun is that you really get to see people in a way that you don't most of the time. Like, you'll hear people on get interviews on audio podcasts, and you'll read interviews and stuff, but, I mean, live, you get to see a lot of people just sort of being themselves in person.
Yeah, there's
like,
a price.
That's what that dude looks like.
Priceless Robert Kirkman interview by Ron.
Yep.
It's just worth it. It's worth it alone just for that. So if you go check it out.
So it is. It's funny. It was good times. So, all right, cool. So that's the video. So now a word from our sponsor.
Okay, I'll do it.
All right, Josh.
All right, which is appropriate. This episode is brought to you by ComicHole.com, which is your best solution for discounted comics and trades. They've got all new Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and Image books 40% off. You can stop by the site and pre-order books, so if you want to have a subscription there, they can send you your stuff if you're not in a place with a good comic shop. All new paperbacks and hardcovers for 30 to 50% off. More books arriving all the time. You can go to ComicHole.com and let them know you heard about us on iFanboy.com. And just so you know, we're not corporate shills, I ordered some stuff from Comic Hole this week. It shipped immediately. It got here very fast. It was a good price. And they packed the hell out of that thing. I mean, a bullet wouldn't have hurt that book. They're recommended. It was a good deal. And
you sound like thrilled about it.
I am.
No, I'm thrilled because I got what you ordered. So I was very happy. Josh bought me a book, and I'm very excited.
What did I get you?
You got me The Walking Dead, book number one.
I don't like zombies.
Nothing like... I like how we force each other to read things. That's good. I like that, so... all right.
You guys know you're getting Sandman for Christmas, right?
I got all the issues. I
got them in a flea market.
I found them somewhere.
In a box in the attic.
So, all right. So let's dive into our listener email. So our first email comes from Jeff from Greeley, Colorado. And he's got a question about the new Morrison Batman series. He's kind of confused by it. And his question, which I'll point to Connor, is does the whole two Batman thing running around pick up from the last issue, or is this something we should expect to see in 52?
No, you shouldn't expect to see it in 52. I mentioned it before when we talked about Detective. It is a throwback to where you used to get thrown to the end of a crime, and this is probably just some guy running around. You don't have to worry about it. It's just the end of an adventure that happens in between books. It's not important.
Is Gotham City quote-unquote cleaned up?
No, it's good. But Gotham City's never cleaned up.
And since when can the Joker take a gunshot to the face and not die?
He's had a lot worse than him and not die. I mean, he was blown off.
In a world where and people think that don't realize Clark Kent's Superman by a pair of glasses.
Yeah, I mean, he's been blown up. He's been stabbed. He's been shot. I mean, he's you know.
So then, and Jeff's other question has to do with some of our reporting from San Diego, where we commented about Joe Quesada's responses to the delay in Ultimate Hulk and Spider, Ultimate Hulk and Wolverine, not Spider-Man.
I had a good comeback, but it's too late.
Where Quesada kind of
Steve Buscemi got shot in the face and he lived, and that guy's a anyway. Sorry, I'm throwing you off now. Take it.
So he wanted to know about what we thought of Quesada's response, which was basically kind of to pass it off on Damon Lindelof. Go ask Damon, you know, ask him why it's so late. And he's saying that wouldn't Marvel have learned their lesson by now, especially after the whole Kevin Smith debacle and everything, to not deal with these Hollywood types and their delays. So
they're at the mercy of the Hollywood types, basically. If they want these guys writing their books, they have to... deal with the fact that these guys are going to do their Hollywood stuff first.
They have to.
They
make
20 times the money doing the Hollywood
stuff.
It's
so annoying. Because we were all over Ultimate Hulk and Wolverine.
It was great.
Yeah, it was really
good.
They'd
have learned their lesson and get all the scripts in ahead of time.
Yeah,
Before they solicit.
So.
But they you know.
Like if you contract somebody for a 4-6 issue script, just get the scripts. Right. Get all the
Marvel
scripts.
Marvel seems to very much want to portray the image of having all these Hollywood guys write their books, and they can promote it, and They're chummy with these guys, and it's sort of the image they portray, but they get screwed 60% of the time with these guys.
But you know what? Yeah. You'll all buy it.
I didn't buy Black Cat.
I didn't either.
You know what's funny, though, because Jeff's other last question is, whatever happened with Daredevil Father, did Quesada ever finish it? And
was it Target?
No, Father was Quesada's one. Target was Kevin Smith's one, which is never going to happen. Right. And Daredevil Father was the series that Quesada was writing and drawing that started... and then was woefully delayed, then was back on schedule, then woefully delayed. And to be honest, I don't know if he's ever going to finish it or
if he did finish it.
He might have, but I don't
think he's got the pencils done.
But I don't care.
Yeah.
That's the point. I'm at the point now where I don't care. A book's going to be delayed for a year or so? I'm no longer interested.
I don't even remember.
Yeah, especially by the editor-in-chief. Sorry.
And the worst, I really enjoy the Ultimate
Flame on.
Hulk vs. Wolverine.
It's because he wouldn't give us an interview.
Yeah.
We chased him 4 or 5 times. Not now.
If it doesn't come out for like 6 months to a year, as much as I enjoyed the first two issues, I probably won't buy any more of it. But that's, you know, you play with the Hollywood fire, you're going to get burned by it. If you want to be all chummy with these
guys. Because they probably make enough money off the first two books that it's still worth
it. That's true. I mean,
there's
got to be a reason why they keep doing
it. And the director's cut of the first issue, and the reprints.
Exactly.
Yeah, so.
People keep buying those things, you don't buy them.
Yeah.
But you know, that's.
But you still wish my one of my many regrets from San Diego was not asking Damon Lindelof in the Lost panel about that book. I knew I should have, and I just didn't get up. I failed you, Jeff.
That one crazy girl got famous from it.
Yeah,
I know.
Nothing. Anyway, so thank you, Jeff, for that email. Our next listener email comes from Jim from
Billerica,
Massachusetts.
I think so.
Anyway, so Jeff was a former comic reader back in the 90s in the X-Men, Image, Wildstorm heyday. So take what you will from there. He got out of comics because things were so bad in the 90s, including the bad X-Men books, which we all can agree with, and the unreadable Wildstorm stuff, especially the Alan Moore Wildcats.
You're crazy.
That was pretty good, if I remember.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, he's been listening to the podcast, getting back into comics, likes our stuff, so thank you. Although he doesn't agree with us. He didn't hate X3 as much as we did, but he thought X1 was worse than X3 and thought X2 was a letdown.
Which... Why do you listen to us? I don't agree with anything you say.
But anyway, he's back into comics, and he's reading a lot of stuff, so that's pretty cool. But he wanted to know what we thought of these collections of... 40 Years of the X-Men on a DVD and Ultimate X-Men on a CD, and I believe there's also Spider-Man on CD and Avengers
Fantastic
on DVD.
Four.
Fantastic Four. Marvel's been collecting the classic old issues all in an electronic format, and he was curious what we thought of that.
It's great from an archiving point of view.
Yeah.
If you want a chance to read it and you don't, you know.
If you can't afford to buy Fantastic Four number 8.
And even those, like, the sort of collected essential books, they get expensive.
There are people who are diehard collectors of those Masterworks.
They just buy
editions.
Those.
They just buy
them.
Yeah, those hardcovers and stuff like that.
Well,
they freak out when they change the cover. And it's crazy.
I mean the black and white essentials ones that are relatively cheap, but still it adds up.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And they're not in color, so... Yeah.
I think it's somewhat forward-thinking in that comics...
Are going to go digital.
Are going to have to go digital at some point, so it's somewhat
forward-thinking. Joe Quesada said that, not us.
Well, no, and I agree with him to a certain degree, and I think it's cool. The fact that you can fit them all on DVD is really cool, and I happen to have the Spider-Man collection, and unfortunately it was on CD before they moved to DVD, so it's like a stack of CDs. But it's pretty cool. I mean, you know, they're PDFs, and they're, you know, like, and it's easy to read, and if you don't mind the watermark here and there.
I just still can't get behind reading comics on screen.
Yeah.
I just...
Would you read the comics on the screen, Josh?
I would.
Because I'll give you the Spider-Man one so you can read all the Spider-Mans and know what you're talking about when you talk about Spider-Man.
I don't need to do that. I keep talking. People keep listening. Who needs facts?
Until there's a way for me to read those on screen and I can take them anywhere in my apartment.
Right. You want basically
I need portability.
When the e-reader type thing
goes
color.
Yeah,
that's what's going to break. And honestly, in 3 to 4 to 5 years, there's going to be a portable handheld e-reader similar to the Sony e-reader that's coming out this year. That's black and white for books.
Right.
And if they can do color, it's going to be golden, and that's going to be the first step.
In fact, I need to be able to read at my bed and not my laptop. It's just,
what do you do in your bed?
I need to be able to read if I want to read my comics on my bed, I can do that on my couch.
Do you read comics in your bed?
Sometimes I do.
Oh, weird. That's why I read mine. Oh, I don't. I read in a chair.
Really? Chair, bed, couch. Anyway, I can't even juggle my computer around the bus.
Subway. Yeah, exactly. So, we could probably get comics down on your iPod though.
Oh
yeah, that'll be great.
Work.
All right, your iPod.
You take
dead.
That thing in before the warranty gives up. God,
I've
how are you supposed to listen to yourself?
Anyway, so
there was a question about that, about if it would have anything to do with the collectability. Or something.
Well, no, he's just saying that it's probably going to hurt back issue sales.
There are no back
issue
sales.
But it would help current back issue sales are dead. I mean, unless you're a collector, they're dead.
And if you're a collector, you'll always be a collector. You'll always buy them for that reason.
And Jim makes the point that it's better than having to dig them out of your long box and take them out of because right now all my back issues, all my X-Men back issues, are all in storage.
Mine
so I can't
too,
get
yeah.
to them. So and when I want to read
trades all the time because they're right there in my bookshelf.
Yeah.
Back issues, I gotta hunt for them.
It's really funny because it's because a lot of books you get like the single issues, and then you put them in bags and boards, and put them in the long boxes, put them in storage. But then you want to read the arc again, so you go buy the trade. It's kind of like how many times I'm gonna buy the Star Wars trilogy on DVD. Like how many times I'm gonna buy this story? Like I bought the Dark Phoenix saga like 4 times now.
I don't do that.
Right. Well, some people do. I'm just saying.
I believe I said in the last show that I'd like to get out the old issues and read them.
Yeah.
Well, you've got them handy. Rod and I have got them in storage room.
Not my problem. Bad planning, boys.
So, thank you, Jim, from Billerica, Massachusetts.
Billerica.
Say it in the accent.
Billerica. Wait, hold on. Wait, oh yeah, Billerica. That's where it is.
Gotta find the accent.
That's a
first.
Wicked hard one, isn't it? You can't even say Gabriel Carteris' name.
So Arthur, if people want to email us, where can they email us at?
They can probably get to their computer, type in contact@ifanboy.com. We'll read your email. We may not read it on the podcast, but we'll definitely read it, and we'll try to get back to you if we can, because we like to do that. Don't think it's fair that you write to us, and then we don't write nothing back. But you ask us your questions. You don't need your life story. Just, what's the question, for God's sakes? Just spit it out there. Maybe you want to call in and leave a voicemail. Cause we got a free 888 number. 888 fanboys.
And speaking of 888 fanboys, we do have a voicemail.
You like my segue?
And let's play that voicemail.
Hey guys, my name is Chris, calling from Montreal, in Canada, of course. Loving the show. Got me through 18 hours in a car, so I'm very thankful. Recommendations, I'm enjoying. I've got Queen and Country on order. The other one's Invincible, Gotham Central, I'm considering. I haven't heard any trade paperback recommendations for the Marvel Universe, though, or maybe I've missed them. I'm partial to the X-Men books on principle, but lately I've been only picking up the Ultimate Universe. So, if you've got any trade paperback suggestions for the Marvel Universe, I'd love to hear them. Thanks, keep up the great work. And have a nice night, boys.
All right, thank you, Chris from Montreal. So, trades from Marvel. I know we've suggested a lot of trade paperbacks from
DC.
It's
strange you don't really hear about the trades from Marvel a lot.
They put everything out.
Well, you know what's funny, though, is that I really thought about this, and I don't buy a lot of trades. Marvel puts out a crap
right,
lot of trades.
Right, you don't talk about them.
And I don't talk about them because I buy them an issue. And so I rarely buy trades. They do a lot of, like, they'll put out six issues. Like, for example, the first six issues of X-Factor just came out in hardcover.
Mm-hmm.
I bought those issues, so I'm not even thinking about that. It's not on my radar. Someone like Augie is thinking and is looking at that and buys the hardcovers and buys the books and stuff like that. Although I was in the store and I did see that they...
He's talking about Augie DeBleek from Comic Book Resources.
Yes. I just thought I'd name drop him. And then
yeah,
he
she
did
it all
about
the time.
But I was in my comic store and I saw there was a trade paperback, Marvel, they have a Visionary series where they focus on one creator and they just released Marvel Visionaries Kurt Busiek or whatever, however you pronounce his name. And it was a collection of his Untold Tales of Spider-Man from the 90s.
Which are great books. Was that black and white, though?
No, they're in full color.
Well, that's a great
trade.
Did
you get me that book?
I got you both that book, I think, for Christmas one year. And if you don't know about that book, it's what it was is there were 99-cent comics in the 90s that they were experimenting with a 99-cent price point. And they were Spider-Man stories that took place in between the early issues of Spider-Man. So, like, the first issue of this series took place in between issue 1 and 2 of Spider-Man in 1963. And they were just great. They were true to the Stan Lee, Jack.
They were really good.
Yeah, they were really good. Or Steve Ditko, I'm sorry. Steve Ditko kind of Spider-Man world. And Pat O'Leaf did the art, and it was very kind of retro-y. Love that book. So, I mean, that's one I would strongly recommend if you like Spider-Man, like kind of retro kind of stuff.
That's how I caught back up with Avengers, was the Marvel trades.
Yeah, that's true.
The new Avengers trade.
And Astonishing X-Men.
Yep. I don't have that yet.
Right, I gotta order that for you. Yeah.
Well, whatever. My birthday was months ago.
didn't they the new Avengers trade come out? The third one or the second one?
My problem with Marvel is that they go to hardcover first,
right?
And then
hardcover's so
pretty. Like 6 months after the issues, they go hardcover. The 6 months after that, they go trade.
They're pretty.
It's
the hardcover.
It took a really long time to get to like the Young Avengers trade, which I kind of wanted to pick up, but it took them like 6-8 months or something like that to actually get the soft cover out because I don't really want the hardcover of a book I've never read before.
Yeah, I mean, right.
That's true. You get the hardcover of something you know
you're
going to like.
Yeah, exactly. So.
You don't want to experiment.
They're not that expensive, though. I think it's only $20, but it's 6 issues.
There are Marvel trades out there. It depends on what you read and what you're interested in. I mean, the Astonishing, the new Avengers ones, Astonishing X-Men, New Avengers, these Visionary books.
A lot of people out there are probably getting to Ultimate Spider-Man through that. Those are beautiful. I mean,
the Ultimate collections are very nice.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just, you know, it's like 14 or 15 books now.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really nice way to have that whole collection.
Yeah. So,
it's just for us, we tend to only get, or at least for me, I don't want to generalize, but... In indie stuff, we tend to buy the trades for.
Definitely. I think I buy more trades of that stuff. And, like, nobody read Gotham Central, so when we say go pick up the trades, that's because that's how you can read it.
You're not going to find the back issues, right? So, awesome. So, thank you, Chris. And as Arthur said, if you want to call and leave us a voicemail, you can call 1-888-FANBOYS. That's 1-888-FANBOYS. I still don't know what those numbers are.
We're going to start writing that down.
You got to write that down. So look on your phone. There are little letters on each number. On the number pad, you can dial that. So the Frapper map. So as of yesterday, there are 276 people.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of people. Since this Comic-Con, we kind of had an explosion.
And we were neglectful in reading enough names last week, so...
And that's what we always like to do. That's why it's there.
So, take it away.
Me? Okay. Mark Herbert from Calgary, Canada. Steve Martin from Des Moines, Iowa. The Glass Piano of Cleveland, Tennessee. Cleveland, Tennessee?
Apparently.
All right, that's weird. Jim from Balearica. Ben from, look at this, Misawa Aomori, Japan. Ben from Trumbull, Connecticut. These are getting mixed up.
Let's do this. It's D. Marchione from Trumbull, Connecticut, Keith from Gainesville, Georgia, Paul Rooney from Scotland, Corsair, the Irrational Pirate, which you really don't find many rational pirates, but they tend to be irrational.
Yar, let's talk about this evenly.
Chantilly, Virginia, Adam Cruz from Michigan, Allegro Dez from Rancho Cucamonga.
Rancho Cucamonga, that's where Howie's from.
Yes. Rancho Cucamonga is a giant housing plan turned into its city.
That's why Howie doesn't want to get voted out, because he doesn't want to go back to Rancho Cucamonga.
Rancho Cucamonga.
Harlan from, if you know what he's talking about, I feel sorry for you. Harlan from Fargo, North Dakota, Brian from Phoenix, Arizona, Yanira from Puerto Rico.
That's a girl?
Yep. Matt from Brighton, England, Dan from Greenwood, John DiMartino from New York, New York, Kristen Allison from Tucson, Arizona, El Pivo from Reading, England, Will from St. Louis, Joshua Aaron, Phoenix, Dan from Walsall, England, Ryan DiGiorgio from Chattanooga, Tennessee, Scott from Marlton, Kevin from Doylestown, Chris from Sunnyvale, Di from Oklahoma, Seth from Charlotte, Chris from Canton, and Jabari White from Manson, North Carolina.
That's a lot of people.
From all over the place. That's so cool. Yeah.
Thank you, everybody. So if you didn't hear your name and you want to join the Frapper map, you can go to frapper.com/ifanboy.
Just get on the Frapper map for us.
Or go to ifanboy.com and look in the upper right-hand corner. There's a link to the map. So you can be represented as part of the iFanboy Nation.
And eventually there will be enough pins, and it's getting there, that your computer will be sluggish and hate going there. Maybe that's why a lot of you haven't put a pin in. Like, I went, the thing would not load on my 386, and I didn't want to upgrade my browser. So screw you, iFanboy.
Netscape 4.6. Yes.
You're on an old AOL. I don't know.
Oh, God. So,
I don't know how you'd listen to the podcast if you couldn't do that.
So that's the Frapper map. So don't forget to head over to ifanboy.com and check out the discussion.
And the video.
But the Pick of the Week thread is always lively and a good place to talk about this week's comics. Come on, let us know what you've been reading. We've got a lot of new faces or new names.
Yeah, a lot.
All the stuff that we don't get to cover in there, that's where you can go to talk about it. Because people, how come you didn't talk about such and such? Go there. Talk about it there.
If you are into the MySpace thing, you can go to myspace.com/ifanboy, and we'll make you a friend.
Into that.
Yeah. You can also go to myspace.com/ifanboy, and you can listen to the most recent podcast if you want to.
Or perhaps put a snarky comment there.
Yeah.
We get that.
Watch the video as well there. If you want to email us, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com, call us 1-888-FANBOYS.
Already told you that, you bastard.
If you dig us and you dig what we do, go to Podcast Alley and vote for us or write us a review, or go to iTunes and write a review. We've gotten a lot of very complimentary reviews on iTunes, and so we thank you all for that. And finally, if you like what we do and if you dig the video and you want to see more comics-related content, just head over to ifanboy.com/donations, and you can click one of the donation buttons and send some dollars our way, send some shekels.
So that this doesn't sound like a two-bit operation.
Exactly, because we're always trying to improve it, and we want to bring you the best, but we...
And to those of you who have donated, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you indeed. There have been some very generous iFanboy loyalists who we're very thankful for, so thank you. I think that's about it, right? We got anything else?
Back to the pool!
Now that the heat wave is over, we finally found a pool to use. So, what are you going to do?
You are not kidding about it being hot here.
Oh,
we did it! How many...
We almost made it to the end! No!
Anyway,
this is the hottest week of time ever.
Josh is moving to New York, and he's been in the city all week, and he's...
Trust me, in 6 months, you're going to be shoveling snow.
I'm not shoveling anything. I rent. I live on the upper floor. They can suck it.
All right, so I think that kills episode 41.
So. He's dead.
And so I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
And I'm, of course, Josh.
You have a good week. Stay cool.
Classy. Bye-bye. You're listening to the iFanboy.com comic book. Damn it.
In 3, 2.
You're listening to the iFanboy.com comic book. Damn it.
In 3, 2. It's going to be one of those, isn't it?
No. Go. Hey, welcome to the iFanboy.com comic book podcast. It's the pick of the... Damn it.
You want the script?
Not really.
Just want to give it a read once over.
Ah, blah, blah.
In 3, 2. Pause.
All right. You don't have to wait.
All right, in 3, 2.
Kraken!
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now?
I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.